What's up, y'all? Joshua Martin here.
And I'm Edward Crockett. And sadly, we can't come to the phone right now.
But if you would leave us a voice message with your filmmaking question,
we'd be happy to get to it and answer it on a future episode of the pod.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Filmmaker Hotline, where we answer your questions when you call in by this number. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about budget filmmaking. I'm your host, Joshua Martin, and I have my co-host, Edward Crockett.
What's up, guys? We got some voicemails. It's kind of sick.
We have voicemails. It's actually working. Come on. It was your idea. It's bound to work.
I don't know. I was surprised. The first person they called, I was like, yo, they called. They actually did it.
So yeah, we actually rejoiced when he texted to me. I was like, what? It worked.
Yeah. I know. I'm stoked.
So today we're going to be listening to one or two, questions that we have, and it's going to fit into today's topic, which is, again, budget filmmaking. We didn't even think about going this far, but hey, you want to start with the question? You want to get into the riff? What you want to do right now?
Well, I want to ask you a question before we get into the questions.
All right, let's do it.
Ben asked this question, but I'm going to take it because I like this question. You have one movie to watch for the rest of your life. What are you picking?
Oh, wow. One movie to watch for the rest of my life?
Yeah. It's a little more intense than like your favorite movie of all time, but like you get to pick one movie to watch.
Holy crap. That's a lot of pressure.
I know.
Okay, I would have to say, no, you're good. This might either maybe go insane after seeing this film. But I would have to say Inception.
Oh my gosh. Your whole life would be an Inception. You're just
question.
Holy
it would be
moly.
In question the entire. Yeah, because you realize how insane that is? If you were to say to only watch that one movie for the rest of my life, it's Inception. You're going to eventually you're going to answer the movie, like the question that the movie proposes, but then you're going to find yourself in your own Inception.
Bro, you're going to be in a tough spot watching that movie.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, my favorite movie of all time, I think it'd be the movie I'd watch, but it's amazing, but it's also slow. So like,
I don't mind slow films.
I love slow films, actually. Yeah, I'm just going to go with cinema. Arrival. That's it.
Absolutely. And no, to be honest, like the first time I watched Arrival, I didn't fully understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, I was like, oh, it's an alien film and whatnot. But then like I realized, oh, this is very different. It's telling me something else.
Denny,
it's
bro.
It's telling me something totally
he's
different.
He's insane.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say his last what name, but Denny Villeneuve.
Oh, Villa.
Yeah. We're going to
put it here. No, didn't he do Blade Runner?
He did Blade Runner.
He directed Blade Runner.
So him and Roger Deakins have had a little bit of a like, they've done a couple movies together because Prisoners,
yes, they have.
He did, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Sicario.
Sicario, love Sicario.
Dude.
Oh. Great, great trilogy.
Yeah.
What?
They made three?
Isn't there three? I thought there was a third. There is a third one.
There's a third one? Okay, there's definitely a second one.
There's two.
One. Yeah. But it wasn't it wasn't the same director. It was like a different.
Yeah, and you can tell it was a different film. Okay, maybe there wasn't. Maybe I'm thinking about the rumor that it was going to be three, but.
Dude, if they came back with a third and it was the same duo as the first one. Because the second one, I think, was more of like a just generic action movie. I'm not trying to diss anybody that made it, but.
Oh, yeah, there's only two. Okay. I don't know what. Yeah. See, yeah, I was in the heat of like, there's gonna be three.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's two right now.
But it's great.
The first one was fantastic.
Yeah. And then they also did the movie we were just talking about that I'm totally blanking on, but
Arrival.
Yeah. No. But Denny directed that one. I'm just saying they did Blade Runner 2049, Sicario, and Prisoners.
Yeah.
All of those, and Denny's the best. He also did Dune. So whatever.
Yes. Man, he did some really fantastic.
People don't talk
about
him
enough. Big blockbuster. Yeah.
I don't think, but whatever.
Solid film.
I think he's like, I'll probably get flack for this. I think he's like Christopher Nolan level in regards to like director status. Like, the stories he can tell.
I could see that. I could see that. The difference between the two, I think, well, obviously Christopher Nolan, he's creating these like super sci-fi heist films, right?
Yeah.
You know, kind of that kind of body of work. David, is it David?
Denny.
No, it's Danny. Danny. Denis?
Denis Villeneuve.
You wrote something. We're about to get roasted. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not good with names.
Just let us know in the comments. But, just do the pronunciation in the comments for us, please.
Yeah, other than, I mean, so he had, you know, Arrival, you know, sci-fi, and then he had 2049 sci-fi.
Yeah.
Sicario felt way more grounded, obviously, because it's about the cartel and whatnot.
Right.
So, yeah, solid work.
Solid.
We should explore different DPs and director combos and their approach to films.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
He also did Enemy, so... Anyways,
I've only seen clip. Oh yeah, we're stuck on this. This is what happens, right? We just riffed.
I'm not mad, bro. I'm not mad.
That's what we do.
Well, yeah. So he's a great director. We'll do that series eventually. Let us know in the comments if you want to see us break down movies and talk about movies and stuff.
For sure, for sure. Let me open up my notes off of Notion.
Yeah, you want me to play this first? First voicemail?
Yeah, let's test it. Let's test it to see if this works.
All right. Here we go.
If y'all were to create like a starter kit for someone who's trying to get into video making and filmmaking, what would that contain and entail? Thanks. Love this idea, by the way.
Cool. Starter kit.
Glad you love the idea.
Yeah, that's, thank you.
A starter kit. I kind of like this, but it's like there's so many ways to go about this.
I have a disclaimer. So I think that...
All right, go ahead.
I think that if we make a starter kit... Actually, Matty Hapoya put a video out about this. I thought it was brilliant. If you haven't seen it...
The most recent one?
Yes. It's all the gear you don't need to buy in 2023.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Basically, he just laid it out better than I think I could. But it's just like everyone's needs and use case for gear is different. And so there's no like one size fits all. So if I say that a camera works perfectly for me, that doesn't mean that you should buy it. It just means that it works for what I need it for. So
yeah,
I think it might make sense to do like two different versions because I see like two big groups of people, and then there's some smaller people within that. So like the content creator that also makes client work, and then just the straight, I'm doing client work only, I'm not filming myself.
Right.
It's literally autofocus or manual focus. Like that's all we're working with, right?
I mean, or both, you know, both worlds can kind of live together, to be honest.
Exactly.
And I did see the video too, and I feel this way too, when Maddie said, you know, I always feel some type of way when people say, yeah, I got this camera because of you. I'm just like.
I've never had that happen.
I get that often, like especially recently the X-H2S.
Yeah.
I talk about like how much I was waiting for it, and I knew exactly how I was going to use it, and I'm sharing with that with everyone. But like now people are like, oh man, you're turning me on to this. Like, oh, I got this. I bought this because of you. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean. Hey, I mean, nothing bad has happened yet. To like, yeah, I got this because of you, but it, like, this doesn't work. I'm like, well, I mean, I didn't tell you to buy it, so.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's a crazy, I mean, I get it, right? You see, you can't actually use the camera unless you rent it, so.
Exactly, and we're going to get into that too, because this definitely causes to like rent something before you buy. We'll get into that.
100%.
Cool. Well, so you want to start with that, or what you want to start with?
Yeah, I mean, let's do it. Let's. I think it'd be interesting. I mean, I don't know. This first question I laid out here, like, I would love to hear about a recent situation that you were in with like little to no budget. That like, you know, like maybe more is expected than. I don't know. I feel like that's every gig, but I just mean like the. My example is like I filmed two music videos with no budget, and it was like there was just a lot that happened because there was no budget. And so I think half of this conversation is how to be a beginner and like work with like what you have, and then the other half is like what gear do you actually need. So
got you. So okay, I'm just trying to think, because when I read this question, you know, what is the most recent situation you're in making a video where you have basically no budget? And so I kind of either had to not, sorry, okay, getting my thoughts together, but currently in my, with the way my career has gone, up until this point, all the YouTube videos that I've done on a personal level, I've had no budget.
100%, yeah.
None, no budget, right? And so that's, in my mind, that's actually really, I would say it's good in a sense where I had to struggle and creatively think about ways to execute ideas without having any other money to go to certain places, whatever. Now, sometimes, you know, I'll spend my own money to get a location. 2 years ago, when the SL2S for Leica came out,
yeah,
I went ahead and rented a house so I can shoot there because I had an idea for the video. So, like, when you say, like, no budget, it's like, no, I have no money sitting there I can just actively spend. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just go out and, you know, spend a little bit of money so for me to execute the ideas that I have. Now, on the flip side, I've been in systems where I've always had some level of budget, whether mm-hmm. it be, you know, $2,000 all the way up to, like, $80,000 as a budget. I didn't manage that money, but, like, I've been in that range.
Right.
So, that being said, like, most of the time how those projects kind of pan out with the no budget is just, it takes a lot of planning and knowing what you can do with the things that you have.
Yeah.
And, like, don't ever underestimate that, right? Like, the moment you think you need money, you throw out all the other possibilities of you actually doing something that, for no money, and it can work just as well.
That's good.
You know? Yeah. So it's like, and also, like, you have to think about what are your skill sets, and then what are the skill sets that you need to actually bring in to help you do the work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's that next level of, like, it's not just like objects or material things. It's like, do you need other skills? New skills as in like somebody else who's skillful in an area that you're not particularly skillful in. So like sometimes that might cause you to need a budget, or you can just ask and be like, hey, could you help me do this? Because you're skilled in this area. And most of the time, like, I feel like the filmmaking community, on, like, if you're just starting out asking something, mm-hmm. most people will give you an answer. And sometimes it's pretty much yes. It's like, oh, I can figure out how to help you out, right? So, totally. Like, even if it's, like, just advice or thinking through something, or, you know, sometimes, like, going out to help you film something. So,
dude, and honestly, yeah. Like, I feel like the bartering system in the filmmaking community, at least where I'm at, is, like, I mean, if I have a friend that has a project and he wants help on it to make it good, but it's not a big budget, like, I'm like, okay, let's freaking do it.
Yeah.
And they return the favor. And then it's like, I'll help you, and then you can help me on a project that I don't have a budget for, and we can just, like, work together on it. So I think that's huge. Like, I think
that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, part of your starter kit should be, like, investing in, like, Skillshare or Masterclass or yourself. Like, the Moment has courses. Like, there's tons of different things that you can go out and look for.
Yeah, the issue that a lot of people have, that, and the questions I get a lot on my DMs, is that, hey, I'm just starting out with filmmaking, whatever, what camera should I buy? And oftentimes, like, I tell them, that's not the place you should start. If you're just beginning in this space, how much have you invested in your knowledge? How well do you know what you want to get into? Oh, no. Oh, the stream has ended. I'm like, I thought the whole Discord is...
No, sorry. I turned it off. Hopefully it'll help the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Do I just close screen? Oh, stream? There we go. This is going to be so funny, you cutting this up. Bless your heart when you do this.
Hey, it's all good, bro. I'm gonna cut it up tomorrow.
Well, what was my train of thought? Oh gosh.
Face, bro.
This is literally the dad brain right now. I don't know what I was saying. I was in my stream. I was in the constant stream of like, I was in the flow.
Well, man. I was trying not to interrupt you. Even when you froze, I was just like nodding my head, like I was like listening to you. Bro, comment.
Yo, keep all of this.
Yeah,
keep all
I'm
of
just
this.
Leaving it, bro. Shout out to Joshua's internet.
It's not me. I've been good on my end.
Oh, tough.
Other than when it cut out earlier.
Well, then I don't know who it is.
I don't know.
It's
what
not
it
me,
is.
Bro.
I'm actually not on my Wi-Fi. I'm on my 5G right now. So.
Ooh, crazy.
I mean LT. I don't bang with 5Gs. LT. All right. Okay. What were we talking about? Like, I legit
skills.
It just left.
You gotta upgrade the skills. People come into your DMs and they're like,
"Oh,
they're like, I need a new camera to buy. I gotta start filmmaking." And you're like, "No."
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I do tell people who ask me what camera I should buy and they're just beginning. I tell them like, "Hey, have you thought about areas that you want to get into, or at least like following people who are giving knowledge other than the camera? Like, there's storytelling, there's lighting, there's production life, set life, all those different little things. So like, I try to get down to like what exactly what they want, and oftentimes they kind of just push, I just want to get the camera so I can just start shooting stuff. I recommend this, I guess,
right?
if it's your budget.
And I mean, if you're in that place where you like want to get a camera, that's totally cool. I think I don't say encourage people to like use their phone. Like,
true.
You can go on and like find tons of great footage from phones. And there's no, like, it's a limitation, but it's like, if you can make something cool with a phone, you can definitely make something cool with a camera.
Yeah.
So skill wise, if you're practicing that way, I don't know.
Yeah. And just like, just to kind of go off of that, like creativity flourishes when there's a limit.
Mm, that's good, bro.
And so, having no budget is an advantage.
Yes.
It is. It really is. Especially if when you, cause like, here's a trick too I've learned is like, when you do get a budget, try to limit. Like, you say you get a $10,000 budget, right?
I guess.
Never go up to $10,000.
No.
Never go up.
Yeah.
Try to get under that if you can.
Can I?
If you can, right?
Can I tell a quick story real quick? Like,
yeah, go for it.
This is a failure of mine. So 2020, a local band here, they're like bigger than just a local band, but they're like, they live in the same town I do. And they hit me up and they're like, "Hey, we have a budget." And
a budget.
And because previously we had shot stuff, I was greener than I am now. And we had shot some stuff. It was good, but it was no budget. But we got a budget. So anyways, we go and they tell me the budget, and then we negotiate my rate, and then it's like, okay, I have this budget. What am I going to do with it? I spent more of it than I should have getting an Alexa Mini package from Lens Rentals and a decent lens, but it was like the Tokina, we're doing a lot of wide angle stuff.
Vista Primes?
No, it was, no.
Oh, 11 to 20?
Yeah, the 10 to 18 or whatever, or 11 to 20, one of the two.
11 to 20.
11 to 20. So I got that, and it was great. I mean, dude, it was beautiful, but two things went wrong with that. One, we needed some set design, and we definitely needed to rent a vehicle, because half of it happened driving in a car.
Right.
We didn't do either of those things because we didn't have money for the budget, because I spent it all on the Alexa Mini. Second thing was that our concept just didn't fit. So the video has never seen the light of day. I shot an entire music video on an Alexa Mini. And this is not a dig, because we rallied. We shot the actual music video on a Pocket 4K on a C stand because I left my tripod at home. And
wait, I remember you telling me this story now.
And
I know it's just,
dude. So it was my first experience with a budget where someone said, "This is up to you to decide where this goes." And I made every wrong choice. So I fully agree with you. And the thing we made with no budget after we spent the entire budget on something else was more authentic to who the band was. It was a better video. And it did really well on their page. So it's like,
there you go. There you go.
It's just like, you don't need a budget.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you practice, once you start making that habit of doing pre-production.
Yeah.
Pre-production is the telltale to actually, it will show you what you actually need.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you spend time, a week, 2 weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
Month. Once you spend that time of the things that you need based on what's being needed mm-hmm. to execute the idea,
mm-hmm.
that's going to kind of lead the way.
Yeah. We're going to interrupt this episode of the Filmmaker Hotline to remind you to actually call in to the Filmmaker Hotline. You see, this is not just a podcast with a cool name, a cute name, if you will. There's actually a phone number that you can call at 501-396-9689. It's going to take you straight to voicemail. And you can ask us a filmmaking question. So be sure to call in with your filmmaking questions so we can listen to your voicemail on the pod and give you a concise answer. But now back to the pod.
That's what I've learned from just like having the idea of like no budget and having no budget to having a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Like the things that you learn with having no budget will help you. It will help you once you get a budget.
Yeah, 1,000%. And you honestly figure out like a lot of ways to solve problems or little hacks from working with no budget that you probably wouldn't even need to look into if you had the proper money.
What's that term? Is it called Hollywooding? Hollywooding?
Yeah, when you like handhold something.
Yeah, so like that concept, right?
Yeah,
it's not just for like it can be used for anything because like it's basically saying you can DIY something to make the shot that you need, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like have that mentality, right? So sometimes you need to buy something. Sometimes it's like I need to just make this. Let me hold this light or this. You know, use a clip for this or use a piece of paper, black trash bag. You know, anything like that.
Take the crap out of it.
Yeah, I highly recommend watching Lewis Potts. I mean, he came up. Fast, right?
Bro, freaking Lewis like, Potts.
Lewis Potts, a household name now.
Dude,
household
classic.
Name now.
YouTube classic. Lewis, if you're watching this, come on the pod. Anyways.
Bro, come on the pod. But he's talked about different lighting hacks he's learned mm-hmm. on different sets. Like he has a whole video about it, so highly recommend watching it.
Yeah.
So like little things like that, I guess we need to make one eventually, but yeah, little things 100%. Like that would definitely kind of like make you realize, oh, okay, I can do these things without having to spend that much money.
Yeah. So, but if you do want to spend money and you want to buy some gear.
Like me.
Yeah.
Like me, I spend money.
We all love to buy gear. So there's no like, shame here. What? Yeah.
The first thing, sorry.
No,
go,
do
go,
it.
Go,
no, what's,
off,
what do we need?
No. Somebody told me I cut you off way too much.
Oh.
So I'm going to let you have the floor.
No, I was just going to say, what do we start with? What's your starter kit? Budget filmmaking starter kit for Joshua.
If I was making one for myself in 2023?
Yeah. You're at...
Can I have a...
You lost everything. You're starting from the ground up. That's kind of dark.
Do I have a budget? Do I have a budget?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's on...
What's my scenario here?
All right, so you're on a budget. You're going to go the best value you can get in every category.
So what's my budget though? Like
what's
your
budget, bro? This is tough because
I'm making this complicated.
No. I'm just trying to think of like what someone like. She didn't say her budget, which is totally fine. It's not. I mean.
Yeah.
But I don't know what like.
Okay, let's assume. Okay, sorry. Let's assume. Let's say, if you're just starting out, your budget's probably only enough for a camera, right?
Right. I mean,
right.
If so, that, like, there's people that are like. $800 camera is a lot, and that is totally fine. If you can't afford an $800 camera, there's nothing wrong with that. But your phone will be better than anything you could get cheaper than that.
Yeah. So I would say start with my phone technically.
Yeah.
I'll probably grab one or two moment lenses.
Yeah.
Shameless plug, but I would
totally.
Because that knowledge of like I know the cameras on these new iPhones are cool, but the main camera is the best one.
Right.
So I would grab like maybe I would actually grab the anamorphic lens and the fisheye just because it's fun.
Yeah, that'd be sick. That'd be a sick kit.
There's just so much. I just love the fisheye and the anamorphic lens, and so I would do that. But then like
that's what like that's $200 right now.
Yeah, for the lenses because I already had the phone, so $200. So two lenses and the case, right?
Probably around
the phone case for the mount.
$250.
Yeah, so I'll do that probably. And then, so this, yeah, this is the cheap side of me talking. That's what I was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I would say, I would get a 5-in-1 reflector, mm-hmm. to be honest.
That's honestly, dude, like $40. It may be less.
$40. Yeah, 5-in-1 reflector. Get maybe one or two MC aperture lights. Because that's like kind of like a mobile thing going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I did want to get a big light, Amaran, it's like they're
the freaking
pretty affordable.
Hang on.
I have two. I have the 200. I have two 200Ds.
Yeah, this is the one. This is the one, dude.
What you got?
I got the 60X.
Oh, the 60X. Yeah. That goes to like 150?
The 60D is 150.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. If I want to get a little powerful light like that, I would do that. Get a little modifier on it.
They did send that to me. I have to say that, but I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah. No shame.
Yeah.
One thing I would definitely try to splurge on is audio.
Ooh, that's good.
If I'm doing any type of video, I need to have good audio.
Yeah.
So I've only used Zoom audio recorders my entire filmmaking career. So I started with the H4N,
mm-hmm.
and H4N Pro, and now I have the H6. I want to get the H8, whatever that has the 32-bit flow. Mm-hmm. I need to get 32-bit flow. Anyway. That's basically raw for audio, basically.
Yeah.
You can't clip it.
It's insane.
Maybe you can. I don't know. But I will probably get the Zoom H4.
Yeah.
Because it has, two XLRs that you can plug into.
Mm-hmm.
And also has a top mic that you can actually use. I've used top mics on this thing, too.
Yeah.
And then last thing I'm going to say, like, for the actual mic. I know DD and Rode has some budget.
Yeah.
Shotgun mics. So the DD, what's it, DD D4 or some V4?
I don't know, actually.
Ben, what's the,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, guys. Also, we're in a Discord, and our homie Ben's in here, and I actually just gave Ben one of my mics. What's the mic did I give you? VMic D3 Pro from DD, yeah.
Shout out, Ben. But you're basically, you're doing the H4N or H4, and then you're doing a shotgun.
And
when it comes to stands and support, I guess like just cheapest you can find on Amazon. If we're going like
Amazon Basics.
Budget. Yeah.
Amazon Basics, you get your heavy duty Amazon Basic light stand and backdrop stand, stuff like that. So like it sounds like we're gonna spend roughly around $1,000.
Yeah. And it would be better to spend all that money if $1,000 on all that kit than actually spending $1,000 on a camera. Like you could get a Pocket 4K right now for $1,000. You don't have audio, you don't have lighting, you don't have lenses.
You just have a camera.
So it's worth it.
I should have started out with this, but the analogy, the kind of thing we just walked through, the analogy kind of stems from if you're building a team, like a basketball team, right? Five starters, right?
Yeah.
You can go out and get the LeBron James. But then everybody else in your four other players suck.
Yeah.
They can't support him, right?
Dude.
So you're going to lose games, right?
Yeah.
So you want to kind of build the foundation first. So you want to get four role players that know their job and know how to execute.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might have somebody that's either weak or an X factor.
Right.
So like you have four things to stand on versus that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of rock from there. That's the kind of how I see it,
100%. Yeah, I think the only thing I would do differently on my end is I wouldn't get the anamorphic lens.
Right.
I would get the like 58.
The 58.
So I'd be like the fisheye, and then the regular stock lens is a 24.
Uh-huh.
So I basically get three good angles, or three good like focal lengths.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But,
I see that.
But yeah, I think that's a solid kit.
Yeah, I'll anamorphic all the things. Give me the gold flare.
Okay, so that was like
all the things.
That's like $1,000 roughly.
Yeah,
it'll
roughly,
be up on screen the total. I'm gonna total it all up. But
cool.
What? Let's say you're gonna buy a camera, and you're gonna go for whatever you're gonna get. Let's not think about an actual budget. Let's just think about you're buying a camera, and you're gonna do proper client work with it. Okay. And you're buying all the other things too. So
okay,
two lights and audio setup, camera, and maybe two lenses.
Gotcha. And then I'm assuming this camera that I'm going to get, I want to use it both for personal work and
this is you. So client you're going to need
client work.
Yeah. You're going to need to film yourself and film.
Dang. To be honest, there's a lot of great options out there.
Yeah.
A lot of great options. But I would probably still get the Pocket 6K Pro.
Yeah.
Because it is tailor-made for small production.
Mm-hmm.
It has internal NDs,
mm-hmm.
which no other camera at that price point has.
Yep.
It has mini XLR ports, but you can get an adapter for... to extend it. I have an adapter. It's the wooden camera 8-box.
Yes, that thing's crazy.
So good.
That's $2,500 camera, right?
$2,500, yep. You know, touchscreen, 1,500 nits. So you can kind of just rock with just a lens and then the camera and kind of go from there, right?
I like it.
And then B-Raw. Mm-hmm. The most flexible Dude. Outside of RAW. I mean, Red RAW.
Yep.
B-Raw.
B-Raw's crazy.
And like, sure, it doesn't have autofocus, but like you can manage. I can manage mm-hmm. if you need to do talking head, just like shoot a little bit deeper, you know.
Right.
I've done that. I've done that before too. Like I just shoot a little bit deeper, whatever. That's the camera. That is the camera I would go for.
Yeah.
Sure, it's a little awkward. It's kind of bulky, you know, what have you. But it's like it's going to give you the best bang for the buck for what it offers.
Yeah.
So that's what I would rock with.
Okay, so I'm kind of in between the two. I really think I love the Blackmagic system. I had a Pocket 4K for a long time, but there's something about that new Lumix.
Oh, that, which one? The X or the S5?
There's not a S5 huge difference, right?
I think there's like unlimited record time for the X. I think that's a huge feature. I don't understand why we still have record limits.
I didn't think they had a record limit on the regular one.
Oh, the S5 2, what is it called? Lumix S5?
Lumix S5 2. Yeah.
I believe it has a record limit in some modes.
Okay. Well, I'd probably go with the X version of that then. I don't want a record limit, but I would say either that or the FX30. Because FX30 is $1,700.
Yeah, it is without the body, and you get the handle, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a great value.
Actually, yeah, with the handle, FX,
that's a great value.
FX30, even if it's more with the handle, like even if it's you have to pay an extra like $200 for the handle, like I'm still I'm going FX30, not because I'm a Sony boy.
Yeah.
But because I just am going with it.
No, we're thinking about getting the most out of your camera and being versatile and keeping things contained. So like the FX3 and FX30 and Blackmagic 6A Pro are the only cameras that I know that offer proper audio
mm-hmm.
to record to. And they have decent
preamps.
Yeah.
So yeah, so, it's $2,200 for the FX30 with the XLR handle, but I'm still going with it.
It's just
solid. So then where are you going with lenses? this is DZO. The question. DZO. That's crazy.
Either DZO or I'll go vintage. But DZO is I like what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because those lenses can kind of live with you over a period of time.
Okay.
And the reason I think touch that's key. That. Like, I'm again kind of long term, right? Yeah. So like you can get a EF mount, but then you can get a PL mount, mm-hmm. right? And that's huge because if you level up camera to a PL mounted camera or switch up mounts, you can just keep the same lenses. You don't need to switch them out.
Yeah.
So.
And they're cinema lenses.
Yeah, that's how I.
So they got the gears. Yeah. Like they got.
Got the gears.
I mean, there's one behind you.
Yeah, there's one right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, proper gears. The image looks great. I made a video about the image and how they look. I think they're doing really great. And the one thing that I realize that people don't, I hate saying that too, but like you have to realize too, when you when you get into cinema lenses, you also should look at how many offerings and focal lengths do they offer.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to help you marry a set together, basically.
Yeah.
I use marry. It does. It helps you marry a set together. So like if you need a wide, standard tele, macro, like you have that range and they all match.
Yeah.
Right?
So as you get as you do a bigger project and you're like, I need a macro for this project, you can get the DZO macro and you know it's gonna match. You know it's gonna look good. Yep. I think that's really smart.
For the last 6 months, I've just been using DZO lenses. Yeah. Every time I've gone on a project, I've rented them. I have three right now, and I've rented the other ones that I needed.
Yeah.
I want a 75 next.
Yeah.
To be honest, What about you?
I think I'm going vintage.
I know. Which one?
Oh, the vintage lenses.
So many
Josh
vintage
was
lenses.
Like, we're gonna be here for a minute.
We already have 40 minutes, bro. You got a long.
Okay. So, this is weird. This is a Vivitar Fujinon.
Vivitar.
Dude. Okay, this is a 24. This thing looks sick. It's a 24.
Wait, I've never seen that before.
Honestly, me neither. So I found.
Wait.
I bought.
Sorry, hold on.
Okay. I said vintage lenses, and now Joshua's like, let's go.
I'm going off right now. Wait, where's my evidence?
Hey, if I told you, if I made you a promise that this was going to be a 30-minute episode, I'm sorry. This could go longer than 30 minutes. I'm just giving you a heads up.
People want it longer, so let's keep it longer.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm with you. This is the 28.
Yes.
This is the 28 Vivitar.
Okay, so it's this one. I don't know about that one. This one in particular is M42.
Yeah, this is M42.
Yeah, so that means adapters are so cheap.
Very cheap.
And it will work.
Unless you go Sigma lens.
yeah. But essentially, they're super cheap. So I don't know. I haven't done much research on the Vivitar ones. I got this off of a film camera that I bought that just, I don't know. I bought it to resell it, never resold it. And then the other day, I was looking at it, and I was like, let me put this on my FX3. And it looks insane.
Bro, you got to send me footage. I have to see this.
I'll send it to you. I went out on a foggy day. I did a little Ryan Booth situation. I went out on a foggy day in
shout out to you, Ryan.
Little Rock. It's not as exciting as New York, but filmed with it, and it looks sick. And it's actually a little bit of vignette, full frame, but I don't mind it at all. So. Yeah.
It's part of the character we like, right?
Yeah. So I'm building a set of Vivitars. I don't know where they're gonna land, but I think I can build a set for the price of like two of your DZOs.
Probably less, because this costs $60.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know where they land, but it's like,
bro, you're not gonna spend probably no more than $100 or less per lens,
dude. That's because funny.
And I'm also trying to find different focal lengths. They're actually kind of hard to find.
So that's why
I found a 90 macro.
I just looked it up. 35 to 70 little macro zoom, 20 $19.
Oh my, yes,
I'm going with this, bro. If you're on a budget and you don't need autofocus, get that Vivitar or Canon FD. Or, I don't know, you're the king of vintage lenses, but, jeez.
Or the Carl Zeiss Yenis. That's what I'm trying to build right now.
Yeah, I had a couple of those.
Yenis.
So funny that you got them after I got them, and I sold mine.
I know.
Because I was lazy.
You sold yours.
Dude.
Yeah, sad times.
Yeah, it's tough. I see a 40 millimeter 1.8.
See, I got him, a 40? 40 mil?
You said, wait, a 40? The best focal length of all time?
Best focal length of all time.
it's a Konica 40, but it's $52.
That's a good name.
So.
Bro, send me that link. We're about to build a Vivitar set.
Yes.
We should just one day just kind of go live and just build a set.
I'm down. So anyway, so that's my lenses.
Yeah, okay.
Whew. That's my lenses.
All right, cool.
We got to move on.
Cool.
All right, so then.
Yeah, lighting.
Hit me.
Give me a 600D. 600X.
Not the 600C?
I'm not into like color.
Right, but do you want to tune the magenta and whatever the other one is?
I got B-roll.
You got B-roll. You don't need,
you know,
yeah.
I got B-roll.
Okay, X, you know, then. X,
just
then.
Little tweaks, yeah. Little tweaks. Get the X, two X's, and the 300, and then...
Yo, what a kit.
Give me this 60 dome. Big softy. 60 big dome. Yeah, give me... And then actually, I'll just get some... The spotlight... And then cove it and book it. You know, cove light it and book it.
Oh, let's go.
That's good. And then a bunch of grip. Just give me a bunch of grip.
I'm talking
modifier, C-stands.
I'm talking combos, baby combos.
Give me all of that. Because if you could get two powerful lights and then you can just shape it,
oh,
you're golden.
It's like working with the sun.
Golden.
If you got the sun, you're good to go. You got enough shaping things. Some negative fill.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going with something.
What about you?
I'm going to go cheaper.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling that she needs something cheaper. But I also own...
Wait, this is supposed to be ours.
It is
ours.
You're right. Okay. But I will say I only own Amaran lights.
Okay.
I have a weird thing where I don't want to spend money on gear, but I want to buy gear.
This is why you rent it. I wish you had a sponsor right now.
Dude, Lens Rentals, hit us up.
This would be the perfect spot.
No.
Hit us up.
But, But like what you can do with the 200X, right?
Uh-huh.
Or even, we ought to stick to Amaran, right? Like they're not the only thing in town.
Yeah, you got Nan
Light's great.
You got, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend small rig yet because I never used them.
I never used
the cops that they have.
Yeah. But I will
that's
say
that's an option. Like
it's an option,
yeah,
and they make a 100, 200, 300, and 400.
They make a 400?
Yes. So
whoa,
I think you can get a 400-watt light for pretty cheap.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going with a couple of 200Xs, two of them. But then I'm also going with the freaking Amaran F22C. It's the light mat. I want that so bad.
And get a whole grid going.
Yes.
And you can just paste it to the top of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want two of those too.
That's a good move. That's a good move.
And then, grip out the wazoo. I mean, I got grip and the boom arm.
Just give me a grip truck.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
The Chimera pancake. If you're like, hey, I want to get a nice diffusion. You can do everything. The Chimera Pancake does everything the softbox does, but it looks better. And it's made to be boomed up over a scene. And that's what they use on actual sets. So like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Get the Chimera Pancake.
How much does the pancakes run?
Let's look it up. Okay. Chimera Pancake comes in at like... If you with the skirt, I think it's like 460. You could maybe get it.
It's not bad.
400 basically, but you could do everything you want. Any soft box setup will look good with this Chimera.
Gotcha.
That's what.
Send me that link.
Okay, I got you. And then you got to get audio. It's a thing that I don't like, but you got to get audio.
Got to get it. My tried and true shotgun mic of choice is the Rode NTG3.
Okay.
You're hearing it right now. It's not really treated in this space. I have a hard surface here and it's kind of open. But this is my mic that I use on all of my productions for interviews, mainly just for interviews and like kind of talking like this if I need to. Love this mic. It just warms the voice so nicely.
Yeah. It warms the voice. That's a bar.
That's a bar.
What other mic that warms the voice? I'm waiting.
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
580. NTG3 comes in at 580.
And granted, this mic has been out for...
You probably get it used.
Maybe 8 years? Yeah. But it's like, I'm surprised. This is how good this mic is. It still holds its value. It probably dropped only $20 since it's released.
That's crazy.
Or probably $120. I think it came out as $700 when it first came out. And I can get it for about five something.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's spot on. Because there are brand new ones for.
Yeah.
Yeah, 480 was used. So you could still get it for $700 if you wanted to pay
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Brand new.
Yeah.
And I have the silver edition. This is their, I don't say limited edition, but they have a black version and this version. Mm-hmm. I have the silver version. So,
and then you're recording it into mic. The 6K.
The Zune H6. Yep.
Oh, the Zune.
No, just the Zune. The Zune. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The preamps are way better than this. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting the mic that I go with pretty much. It's the only one I've actually ever used. So I don't know what Rode has, but, or I haven't experienced the warming of the voice from the NTG3, but
the whole warming of the voice,
but I go with the, it's the Sennheiser 416. It's money. And then recording into the Sound Devices Mix Pre 3.
Okay.
So
yeah, you can't go wrong with the Mix Pro 3. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I have at my full-time job. And it's just a freaking machine. So I do that, or I might run it into my FX30, because why the heck not? That thing's
sick.
Yeah,
why not? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Dope.
Now the last
set.
We've got our kit, right?
Yeah. Like starter kit, kind of rock that.
Right. And if you, and you there's know. Like, okay, I'd like the record to show that there's like definitely room to downsize. You can achieve a lot with one key light, a good softbox,
yeah,
$1,000 camera, and
yep,
you know, like the Rode wireless goes, like you could, like you could pare this down and go really, really. But anyways, if we're going out to shoot something, what are those things that you're gonna buy that are like, it's like your secret stash. It's like when everything goes down and you're like, I got to fix something. I got to solve a problem. Or someone wants to get a shot that we don't have the budget to get. You're pulling out the case with all this stuff.
Huh. Is it good?
Also, sorry if you hear any background noise. There's a super loud car outside.
It's blasting like hip hop.
No, his exhaust is insane. It's probably a lifted truck.
He's ripping.
It's Arkansas,
he's ripping.
So.
Yeah, it's Arkansas. You gotta get your trucks. Dang, that's a great question. And you froze again. I'll just wait. You're just stuck like this.
It might be me, bro. It might be.
I'm like smooth over here.
Tough.
Smooth operating. Dang, yo. What would I pull out of my bag if all else fails?
Yeah, or just like, you know, I like in the notes I wrote down like core problem solving hacks or tools that you're like.
Oh, okay. You know? I thought it was like, I don't know why I think like something crazy. Definitely, I like to keep some moving blankets in my car. If I'm bringing gear, I have like a stack of 3 moving blankets, right? Because that can help block light. That can help contain sound. Definitely black and white, because like if there's too many windows and you don't have anything to really block it, like that's when you kind of throw that up, right?
Yeah.
Kind of block that light out. Gaff tape, always gaff tape.
Gaff tape's the duct tape for filmmakers.
Always gaff tape. Facts. Yeah. Actually, I'm low on stock. I need to buy a big old pack from Amazon.
Dude, I've never done that before. I might do that.
Oh, it saves a lot of money, actually.
Actually?
This guy, I buy the minis and then like a pack of four, I think it's a 4-pack black. Black, and I get like a highlighted green or something.
Oh,
like a bright one.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, those are solid.
I got more, but I'm kind of bounced off.
Totally. Well, if you're shameless plug, you should go check out my latest YouTube video.
You should.
Because I go through 10 of these kinds of tools. But
yes, you do.
This is gonna come out right when my video comes out. It's gonna be sick, but
perfect.
That's not why I asked the question. I love this stuff. So
yeah,
I'm probably going with like the, I love having, as long as it's not like a corporate thing, I love having like the super clamps, like the,
yes,
I have a bunch of them, but I don't have them near me, but
same,
the super clamp, and like you attach like a little tripod ball head on there.
Yeah.
And that is like, yep, there we go. That's the money.
It's pulled out of my ceiling, right?
Yeah, just pulled it out of your ceiling.
I just pulled it out of my ceiling.
So that's, I mean, I'm bringing a couple of those. I always have those. Yeah. I always have, like surge protectors, extension cords. These things go without.
Ooh, yeah.
Know? But then there's light, the dimmers. You get a couple dimmers.
Yeah.
It's like $5 I got two dimmers. Or $7 for dimmers. A cheap one at like Lowe's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Home Depot. I prefer Home Depot.
Yeah.
But
Same.
You go, you get a couple of those. You got a lamp in the background. It looks good, but it's way too hot. Like mine is right now. Like you can see it right here.
He's blasting.
I got to hook a dimmer up to it, but it's like, dim that down, call it a day.
Dude, you gave the greatest tip I've heard in a while in terms of like having something in your bag to fix things. The extension plug that has a ground.
The ground lifter. Yo.
Dude, I was like, oh, why don't I have that?
Dude, I'm using all of them. I'm using because all the stuff back here in the background, it has, it's a two pin plug. So I have to use those.
Dude, make sure to insert your video you showing that in here. Make sure you do that.
That thing's sick.
Plug yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so gold. Bonus round. In terms of like on the camera stuff, I'm all about cable management.
Yep.
And Armando just released a collaboration with Condor Blue, his Mondo ties.
Dude.
These are nice.
They're very nice.
I had to pick them up. Before, we all had sprigs.
I have tons of them.
I've worn these out.
Yeah.
They're worn out. These are very nice, heavy duty rubber.
Uh-huh.
And then,
they're rubber. I thought they were metal for some reason.
I mean, they're plastic. it's like a very hard plastic.
Okay, got it.
And then they have their, you know, the screw in there.
The actual screw, which is key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish it had airy locking pins.
Yes.
So it won't twist off, but these are good.
Still solid.
These
are very still good. Solid. And, I mean, still honestly, solid, they could solid. Easily add the locking pins in like a heavy duty version of it.
Yeah, I think they should make a heavy duty.
Actually,
not metal. Still, but that'd be kind of like, crazy though. That.
Add the locking pins and make it like aluminum.
Oh yeah,
that'd be more expensive to make.
Aluminum. That's my. And then you know, of course, these.
You got the bougie one. I didn't know you had the bougie one.
I did. I have this one. I just got this one last week, and it's already starting to get loose.
Ooh.
I've had this for 4 years, and it's still the same tension.
Okay. Did you know they make tons of different versions?
Yeah, I realized that after I got this.
Yeah. So they have like some cool looking ones. I didn't know this.
Yeah. Yeah. I recommend the one that doesn't, because like this doesn't move. It doesn't budge.
Well,
this,
I'm saying they even make different ones than the wooden one.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Like completely. Like it's a totally. It's like basically a different model. They have one that has the flathead that like pushes out the top. I'll put them on screen. They're kind of sick, but yeah.
Those of you who are still watching, you can see that we are in the weeds.
We are in the weeds.
And we're deep. We're in the bayou.
Shamelessly in the weeds. I'm like looking at how long we've been recording.
Hey, almost an hour.
What?
I'm sure my wife is like, yeah, I have 58 minutes on my record time.
Shout out. That's crazy.
This is good. This is gonna be fine. You're gonna be like, bro, why did we talk so long? It's fine though.
It's fine.
You can chop it up.
100%. Well, I think that's a good place to call it.
I think so too. Like this was good. Hopefully there's some good nuggets in here for those who are thinking about just like the little things. But I think the most value that we were be able to, the most information that we were able to provide earlier on was like the whole idea of budget, right?
Yeah, agreed.
If you kind of just change your mentality a little bit and see that like, okay, I don't have any money, but what can I actually make that can still look good, that can still be good? Like, remember, constraints breed creativity. That's how it thrives. So
I heard an analogy once, and I don't know where it came from. So, but basically they said that there's a study done. They had a playground, a bunch of kids in a playground, and the playground didn't have a fence. And all of the kids stayed super close to the building because there weren't any boundaries. And then they put the same kids out in the playground with a fence. And the kids were all the way out. They're all everywhere. They were against the fence. They were like basically exploring the entire limit of that playground. So I think your budget is your fence, and you should let it, like, don't be like, don't get down because you have $500 to get some film stuff. Like, spend that $500 on a cool lens for your iPhone or your any phone you have, and like make something cool, and then like go from there. So honestly, dude,
just look at us with the gems today.
Hey, bro, you had plenty of gems. I will say, if you're starting out right now, you could get a lot of business doing social media content for a business with just your phone.
He should listen to him, because he does this.
Just your
he
phone.
Does this.
No, yeah. I mean, I shoot it on a camera, but they don't. It doesn't need to be. They like. No. You could get so much business. Just you could shoot. You can shoot. Oh, dude, you can shoot real estate tours on your phone. Get that wide angle. You can do like, I mean, TikToks, like educational TikToks or trendy TikToks or whatever. Like, if you want to get into filmmaking and you need some clients, dude, like, if I was restarting right now, I have nothing but my phone. I'm not even buying any gear. I'm buying a good mic, and I'm going out and I'm like making social content for clients until I build up enough kit to buy my own stuff.
Ooh. Dude, you're absolutely right.
it's just out there now. No one cares that it's on a phone. So
it's a different landscape. Yeah. It's a different landscape. Yeah. That's wild.
Well,
cool.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening for this however long podcast is going
to
be.
Okay, if you have a filmmaking question that you want to hear us ramble about for an hour, or give a pretty concise answer that really hits exactly what you were looking for, you can just call the number 501-396-9689, the filmmaker hotline. It's going to go straight to voicemail. I'm sorry, I'm not picking up. And and you can leave us a voicemail, and then we'll play it in the pod as we answer your question, just like we did this episode. So call the filmmaker hotline.